Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Yeah, here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation. Salute to D&M Leasing, our new studio sponsor. There's Brian Broaddus, the former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive, in a Longhorn vest, man. Never thought I'd see the
How
day.
About
I remember,
that?
I remember asking Hook you him. When he was going down there if you'd find yourself rooting in any way, and you insisted no, but it got you. Being a parent will do that to you.
Pulling for the kid.
Made you a softy.
Pulling for the
kid. I'm telling LSU on you. There's Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there at Master Control here, fixing to go 5 hours flawless. He's feathering his nest, preparing for radio producing, engineering, and hosting. LA Live's coming up 5:40. Wolchuk and Schiafalo are in the house. Back from a glorious trip to the alma mater last night where they addressed the UNT broadcast students, dropping knowledge and blessings upon them. And you have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and on YouTube. Yeah, last night late in the show, guys, you're probably up there chatting with the kiddos already, but we had reports from people in the know who were insisting that it was still not going to be shoddy. Back at it today, and you know, reading the sentiment on Cowboys Twitter and what reporters are saying, people are talking about this now like it's a done deal. As shortly before lunchtime today, the report came out from the NFL Network trio of Slater, Rappaport, and Pelissero that the Cowboys are having a second interview with OC Brian Schottenheimer today. So 4 hours yesterday, and this is a continuation of that. And I think at this point, it just seems like they're hammering out details. That's the way I'm reading it. Do you guys get the same vibe reading Cowboys Twitter that, you know, people are talking about this thing like it's a lock?
I do. I mean, I know our buddy Nick Harris keeps standing by. He thinks that it's still maybe just for an offensive coordinator play calling job, not the head coach. But at this point, it's like, what else would it be unless they're waiting for Kellen Moore? And if you're hiring Kellen Moore, I'm just assuming Kellen Moore's calling your plays. So what would then Brian Schottenheimer be in play for? So it's a bridge to Jason Witten. That's really what it feels like. And I've been on record saying, I think that it's just hire Jason Witten if that's the way you wanted to go about it. And then you can have Brian Schottenheimer on the staff if you want.
You want to protect from the low floor, I think, if you're the Joneses. Get some continuity, not have the potential for chaos and disaster that a new head coach coming directly from high school would bring. Because you still want to make the playoffs, you know, while you're going through this. You want relevant, you know, TV rating opportunities there in the month of December and early January, I think, for your football team. I think that's why they wouldn't go with Witten, but I'm with you, you know, because I'd like to see if the guy can sink or swim, at least be an interesting story to cover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're making too big of a deal of the Witten thing. I think we are. Just talking to some folks.
He's not head coach in waiting?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Is he going to be on this staff?
That's a question that still needs to be answered, but just talking to some folks, I've been told, listen, you're probably making too big of a deal about him being on staff and coach and waiting and stuff. That's just me talking. The second thing is about the shoddy hire, if I could. I said it yesterday. If you're a fan of Dak Prescott, it's your guy. They're trying to do things for Dak here. They're not trying to do it for any other reason than Dak. And so if you're a believer in Dak and you want to see him succeed, this is how they feel like that they can help Dak with Brian Schottenheimer.
Well, I'm not interested in the same thing from Dak. We know how Dak can be in this offense. You know, in any walk of life, they say if you want real progress,
get out of your comfort zone. You're not going to get that.
I know. I'm just complaining about it.
I know. But if you're a Dak Prescott fan, they're trying to help him.
Trying to help him be comfortable. They're not trying to help him be the best version of himself.
I don't know how that helps Dak.
Sometimes players
need to be saved from themselves. Dak might need to be here.
Yeah. Well, they're in a situation right now, and that they're looking at this as they're doing everything in their power to that. That's how they're looking at it, not how we're looking at it.
Yeah, like Bobby said, you know, Dak is definitely open to learning a new offense. It makes me question it. When everybody you're bringing in is Kellen Moore, he knows, has run the system before, and Shoddy, who's been there.
Yeah.
So is he I have no doubt he's capable of it. You're 10 years in the NFL. I think Dak's really smart. I think he's one of the better pre-snap quarterbacks in football. Everyone you talk to, scouts, coaches included, they would tell you that. But, man, this is one where you've seen how this offense goes, and it's awesome you're an MVP runner-up. What did it get you when the game mattered in the postseason and against quality defenses?
Build a better team.
And that was an early exit. Well, how are they building a better team?
No, that's what I'm saying. Now, right? now that's the challenge. I mean, that's the challenge.
There's a lot of challenges with this team. They don't have answers for as many of the challenges that they've got.
Absolutely.
It just feels like it's a lot of, it's okay, let them do their thing. No.
You told the owner to sell yesterday.
Like what they're doing now, the crap they're pulling, it's unacceptable. And I think the fan base is really, really fed up with all this crap.
No, the fan base is clearly fed up.
Dak, have your way. Awesome. Go ahead. Don't win anything of substance. That's fine.
That's right. You're right.
We'll see if you can even play.
Yeah.
If you're any good anymore.
Yeah. Well, the thing I think I might like about Schottenheimer is what the criticism of him was in Seattle, which was people yelling, "Let Russ cook." But he knew we need the best running game possible. And then they didn't have a great offensive line. You know, they were pulling off a running game with a really makeshift offensive line. So I think the only way to have success with Dak is to build a top five, maybe even top three running game and be able to, you know, dictate coverages to the defense that way to get more favorable matchups. Mm-hmm. Once you let them clog and cover on Dak, you're done. And the defenses that have been able to do that and choke off your running game at the same time have kept you to single-digit points quite often. So I don't think they have the resources right now, but maybe after an offseason, maybe Guyton gets better, you know, maybe Beebe becomes significantly better and you find an offensive lineman at 12 and a running back at 44 or 78 or wherever they pick in the third round. Maybe you could build the kind of running game that could, you know, give them the kind of offense that produces first downs without having to go third and long. Novel concept, you know. And now that is just a sliver of hope, you know. But at this point in Dak's career, you're going to need to give him the ability to make a ham sandwich back there in the passing game and a dominant running game. And I think Schottenheimer can take you there. Now let me ask you this, Chief, because you were optimistic after they let Mike McCarthy go. Are you still?
My optimism lied in just seeing something new, seeing something different. And unfortunately, if you're just going to keep the same offensive coordinator, make him your head coach, that doesn't really give you much in the way of different. I'm still glad they moved on from McCarthy, but I was not sure that they were going to make the next move the right move. And I don't know that Schottenheimer is that guy. You talk about building a rushing attack. I think that's extremely important. Extremely important. All of these teams that are left in the postseason, they can run the football pretty well. And there are much better candidates out there. If you were looking for somebody to really craft a rushing attack, there were so many better options than what Schottenheimer's got. Schottenheimer had some success running the football about a decade ago. Okay. He talked about with us in training camp how the fronts defensively have changed. Defenses have changed the way things go. The fronts that defenses are using now are much more complicated. So that means you now as an offensive coordinator, you have to design a rushing attack that can combat that. You have to have a wide variety of stuff that you do. And you heard Mark Schlereth with us yesterday. He loves the way Buffalo approaches it with their offensive line, the different things that they do. They're not just a one-trick pony. We're an outside zone team, and that's what we do. They got 50 different ways to beat you on the ground based on what you want to do defensively. We got answers. Mm. Schottenheimer has not proved at all that he has answers.
Yeah.
And so Liam Cohen with the Bucs, if you want a rushing attack, go look what he just did. He took an awful rushing attack in Tampa last year and turned it into one of the best ones in the league.
Dominant, yeah.
Dominant. Joe Brady with Buffalo. There's a guy right there.
Now people think Baker Mayfield's like a top 12 quarterback.
Yes.
You
know,
you start running the ball like that, and guys who were washouts in other spots can suddenly look, you know, very, you know, credible, you know, potent, dominant. I don't know. I do think Wolchuk has not calmed down at all from yesterday's award-winning rant. You can find it on our YouTube page, Dallas Fan Cam.
It's everywhere now. I mean, that thing's capital V viral.
Immortalized. Okay. I guess if you need
another positive, at least they didn't hire Gruden. I mean, that would have been a bigger embarrassment than just about anything else.
The entertainment factor would have been better.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, what else we have is Mavs center Derek Lively has sustained a small fracture in his foot. He's expected to miss 2 to 3 months. Yeah. Okay, I was sniffing around on this last week. I didn't bring it up on air, but I was wondering, did losing Casey Smith, who's now the trainer with the New York Knicks, he left a couple of years ago, you know, right around the time, you know, the organization was going through some transitions. And I only bring it up because just 2 days ago we heard Lively was questionable and the X-ray was negative. Like, okay, so we got all these guys getting hurt.
Yeah.
Do we need to look? I mean, for a long time, the Mavs were known as one of the best training and medical staffs. This dude, Casey Smith, was lauded by the U.S. Olympic team, right? He brought Tyson Chandler to health after he seemingly passed his athletic prime. Tyson Chandler goes on the best run of health from like age 30 to age 35, you know, after working with Casey Smith. I just wonder, you know, about that one right there.
It's a fair question, too. And it wasn't like Casey Smith just necessarily wanted to leave. He was getting demoted along the way, like his final year. With the Mavs, it was, you know, his role was diminishing. He wasn't even on the bench anymore. He wasn't traveling with the team at all. So that feels like a Mavs sort of decision.
Yeah, and maybe it was a player thing. Like the players didn't vibe with KC the way that previous star players did. You know, I know we're in an era where star players, and the Mavs have a couple of them, that prefer to use their own training staffs. Maybe he just said, well, you know, if the main guys don't want to work with me, then I'm going to go find somewhere that I feel more important, that I get to stay on the bench. I don't know exactly how all of that fell out or the quality of who replaced him, but if the proof is in the pudding when it comes to injuries, like how long should Luka really be out with this strained calf? You know, 2 or 3 weeks after resting, he's on national TV and could barely walk. So, you know, I want to know what the hell is going on there for the long term. For the short term, it sucks as a Mavs fan. I think a lot of people want to bail on it and say, forget about it. You know, but look, we gave up on the Rangers how many times in August and September they go on and win the World Series. Maybe you can't watch. Maybe you can't pay that much attention to the Mavs, but I still want to know how healthy they are on April 10th. And if this is truly a 2 to 3 week deal for Lively, what it sounds like is one of these hairline fractures that can be tough for an X-ray to pick up. And then when he's not recovering, you're like, well, maybe we need to take another look at this. So you do a more advanced scan and you see the hairline fracture. And when you start talking about those kind of things, they can go well beyond the you know, prognosis or whatever, the expected time of return. So if internally, like we heard, you know, maybe some people were less optimistic Tank could return, but they decided to give it a shot anyway. He couldn't come back. If there's people over there with the Mavs saying, oh no, this could go 6 to 8 months, then I think you tank right now. Then I think, you know, trying to push into a top 10 pick would be the thing that would get you closest to a championship. But as long as there's a shot you can make the playoffs and get Lively back, I think you just slog through this and you know, pile up victories where you can.
Yeah, I don't completely disagree with that. I'm low on the optimism that this thing will get going the way it needs to when it comes to just Derek Lively's health in general. And I think that right there is sort of a backbreaking thing. If you want to win a championship, not to say that, hey, Luka, Kyrie, that health factor, and they keep that thing going, they can have some nice postseason moments perhaps, but in no way are you a championship contender without him.
Yeah, now you got a concern with maybe your third or fourth best player. Like, how healthy is this guy going to be?
Yeah. You go big picture with it, and then you're like, crap, dude, like big man, foot injuries. He's missed 25% of the games in his career already, you know? And that's like sort of like the barrier. You're expecting a big man to deal with health issues. That's par for the course. Mm-hmm. But now that 25% number is going to drop precipitously.
I think the biggest problem in the NBA is the fact that the players have so much control over who they can have look at them health-wise and stuff like that. I think the teams are put in some really bad situations. I'm not saying that every doctor, trainer, anybody that works on these players is bad, but there are a lot of bad ones out there that these teams say, listen, we need to think about doing it this way. And the players, maybe their physical therapists and stuff say, no, we're going to do it this way. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of that in the league. And you know, that's the power that these players have. I'm not saying that players shouldn't have control over their own health, but there's a lot of disconnect between the teams and the trainers that these players like to use. And sometimes these trainers don't know what the hell they're talking about in a way that will get the player back, you know, quickly for the team and then also in the best condition.
I mean, sometimes there's reasons for a player to not trust a team, and yeah. I certainly want to be sensitive
oh,
to
no,
that.
Oh, no, absolutely.
But a lot more times it's a player wanting to work with a guy and yep, wanting yep. to pay a guy because yep. he likes working with him right. more than the guy the team provides.
And that guy might be a guy that doesn't push him as hard as he needs to be pushed.
Yeah, yeah, because he likes the check. Norway is set to become the first country to abandon VAR, that's replay in soccer. 19 of its 32 clubs voted Wednesday, and I hope it starts a global trend. Let's just get rid of it. Sports was more fun without replay. Okay, when we come back, NFL mock draft time. Mm. Let's do some team building. How would you like this guy at 12? G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30, and we're back with you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Fam. Yeah, buddy, G-Bag of the Day is coming up here in 8 minutes. You have NFL mock draft time. Okay, let's talk some draft. A little big board report here. A little board report, if you will.
Love it.
Of course, if you love draft content, Krusty's Corner at 3:40.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to be your terrific daily resource for the latest draft content and analysis with Brian Broaddus. But here at The Fan, we are proud to say we have the best draft coverage on any radio station in America. Not even close. You have guys from around the league tuning in to follow mm-hmm. the draft via our stream,
yeah.
you know, instead of even the national television show. So salute to, you know, the job that Brian's done over the years, helping put this thing together and build it to what it is today, a dominant ratings force as well. Appreciate Segment it. Here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Mel Kiper, draft expert. Going Luther Burden, the wide receiver at Missouri. Brian, would that get a thumbs up from Broaddus?
Yeah, I tell you, that's probably where you're going to have to make a determination of him or Abuka from the Ohio State Buckeyes. You just have to determine which one of them checks the boxes for the athletic ability, the stability, the off-the-field stuff. There's a lot of things you're going to have to dive in on that 12th overall pick, and then figure it out from there. But if you had to say a receiver that could go out and make you plays, run after catch, could be a really good complement to playing against opposite CD, can play from the slot, can play outside. This guy, Burton, can make a lot of plays for you.
Okay, so potential issues with consistency of effort with Burton, maybe when not directly targeted with the ball, and questions about his blocking ability due to his smaller frame. Are those significant concerns for you, or does the talent override it, Wolchuk?
His tape 2 years ago, better than the tape this year, and I think a lot of the frustration was poor quarterback play, inconsistent quarterback play. My question is, does he fit the Cowboys? Because some of the best attributes are obviously he's an explosive playmaker with the ball in his hands, but you see them set up screens. Cowboys aren't a good screen team. So are they going to be able to get the most of said player? I think Emeka Egbuka would be a better fit personally than Luther Burden. I love the explosiveness. I love the speed, the playmaking ability. I just don't know that I trust, especially if they're bringing back the same staff and they've got the same players here. I think Egbuka is set up more for instant success at receiver than a guy like Luther Burden is here. Because I do have question marks with his size. Is he able to win consistently on the outside? Some have similar questions on Egbuka from Ohio State because he's a slot player. But if you go back and you watch him his freshman year when they had JSN, who's now with Seattle, Rockwall Zone, Egbuka had to play on the outside, and he won a lot on the outside. So I think a safer pick between the two receivers is the Ohio State kid for me. But Luther Burden is a playmaker, and this team needs playmakers.
They don't have an explosive player at wide receiver, unless you want to talk about, you know, and with Turpin. And I know he's got, I believe he's restricted this year and stuff like that. They need some people on the outside that can complement. And Burden and Egbuka both are fine players. Like I say, the off-the-field stuff for Burden, there's going to have to be some questions about digging in on him. You know, there's some people that were talking about not so many character problems or anything like that, but there are things that need to be checked about him that I were hearing early in the process.
Like boss man fat? Or
no,
like
not that bad. Just
Laramie
like,
Tunsil.
Yeah, just, no, not Laramie Tunsil. But no, it's just things that need to be checked. The cleaner player is Egbuka. There's no question, the cleaner player. But the guy that I think when you start to talk about explosive player, Burden is that guy. Egbuka makes a ton of plays too, but when you start to talk about you need an explosive guy, I can see why they picked Burton in this mock draft.
Apparently he's personality plus, highly marketable. It's like raining endorsement deals on him across the state. So, you know, Jerry Jones is going to see that.
Wow.
Have this guy, you know, in national television ads by the time we get to Halloween. For me, I'm interested in wide receiver, but I'm going to double down on the belief that this running game has to be supersized in a hurry. I feel like you took a step back without Tyron Smith. You know, you don't have a left tackle of the future right now. Can we say that about Guyton? We're hoping that can become Guyton. But if I found a guy who could play tackle but also play guard, I can put you at right guard. I can maybe play you a left tackle. I don't want to have Terrence Steele on the roster for any longer than necessary. Like, it's a game of Survivor Island right now on my offensive line, and I'm looking to throw new cast members at every opportunity. So if there is an equal graded offensive lineman, and I'm at 12. That's the way that I would go. What are you thinking over there, Chief? You taking wide receiver at 12?
I'd be fine with it. I think that's definitely you know, becoming more and more of a premium position. It would certainly be a need for the offense. So I'd be open to wide receiver, trench guys. Of course, there's some edge rushers. There's some corners. I mean, I think you do have some options here. But yeah, I'd be fine with wide receiver.
Okay, Egbuka's on the board, the Ohio State wide receiver. Malachi Starks, the Georgia safety, is there. The guard from Bama is there, and Ashton Jeanti goes a 20 to the Broncos.
So, like, Jeanti for me is helping you win now more than Burden is today. Absolutely. But I think if you wanted to go offensive line at guard, Tyler Booker is a physical dude who is a people mover. He's got some nastiness to his game. That wouldn't upset me. It looks like most of the tackles are gone. The one question would be, you know, Josh
Simmons gone?
From Ohio State. He slides all the way to 25 because of the left knee injury. Yeah. And if we get a good report and you feel good about his knee at 12, he's the best offensive tackle in the draft.
No question.
Then you've got your left tackle of the future. I'm still going to advocate for Mike Green out of Marshall. He goes 23 to Green Bay. I think he's the second best edge in the draft. And now I'm kind of wondering if you're hiring Brian Schottenheimer, Maybe you just need to build the hell out of this defense. Maybe you just maximize Micah Parsons. Let's give him another guy that can go get the quarterback. Mike Green's the next best behind Abdul Carter, in my opinion, bar none, to go do that. Let's just try and build a defensive champion here, because I don't know if your offense is going to be able to do anything for you.
Heck, I mean, you want to go elite defense. I could get behind that that plan as well, because that's, you know, kind of a path to victory that doesn't require a great offensive coaching staff. You know, you could either do it with an amazing offensive line and running game like the Eagles are doing it, or you could build one of these generational defenses like Peyton Manning won with, where, you know, if you get 16 points, you feel like you're going to advance to the next round. I saw Dane Brugler on his way to the East-West Shrine Game today and then on to the Senior Bowl. Mm-hmm. How much are these events going to shape draft prospects and their rankings here in the next couple of weeks, Brian?
There's going to be quite a few of them. I think the Senior Bowl has done a really nice job with Jim Nagy and the ability to them to get the top flight talent. They've also done a really nice job of getting you some smaller school guys. I'm going to throw a guy a name, Charles Grant from William & Mary, as a tackle that's going to participate in the Senior Bowl. Boy, he's a good-looking, long, movement, all those things. Teams that are zone teams love to have a guy like this that can play in space. He's going to have the opportunity to play in the Senior Bowl. So that's you always look at those good matchups, especially with all the questions about these offensive tackles, these offensive linemen going against these really good one techniques that we've seen. We've seen some really good edges like Woolley's talking about with Green and things like that. So the one-on-ones and all that, it'll shape, it'll help a lot of these smaller school guys get the exposure that we need to kind of have a little bit better understanding of how they do against really good competition.
Very good. It is time now to go into the Pimp Cup. Or Lucius, how's your G-bag today?
Yeah, what's going on with everything and everybody's? Everybody doing?
Good.
All right. Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Fantastic, brother. Fantastic. Don't want to waste too much of your time here, so we'll get right to it. This is day two for the RJ and Choppy show. We got Bobby and Sean going back and forth about Coach McCarthy during crosstalk. Bobby was on one.
By the way, Mike McCarthy is reporting that weather delays have prevented him from interviewing with the New Orleans Saints.
Mike McCarthy has a social media account?
He has several reporters that he feeds that information to that have since reported it this morning.
So what is the real report?
There are several reporters saying, hey, Mike McCarthy's definitely interested in the Saints are definitely interested in weather has gotten in the way. So,
but why do you have to be so childish and petty about it? I'm
telling you.
Why do you have to be like there's so bitchy about it?
I'm just saying. It's great.
Like,
it's
he's gone. You won.
I assume it's Laura Oakman.
Why are you still just whiny and cheap about it?
What do you mean cheap?
I got him. What are you so petty about it for?
I'm just saying, it's the report that's out there.
Like, just celebrate it and be comical and poised.
This is me celebrating
you're being
right
freaking
now.
Petty and annoying about it.
I love it.
You want to get punched in the freaking face? Oh!
Wow.
That still sent a chill down my spine now hearing it.
I mean, the first two times I heard it, I couldn't believe that it hadn't been bleeped, but now I understand why.
Yeah. He caught himself right there.
Yeah.
He froze Bobby with that cheap, though. He froze him.
It's amazing. Cheap. That's
what do you
the
mean?
Line. Like, wait, cheap me?
Froze him.
You've seen my tip.
What do you mean cheap?
What'd you say, Wilcher?
The tips.
Huh?
You know, out in public at bars.
Okay, man. Oh, yeah. You can't be too careful out here, boy. I tell you what.
Bobby, before he's even ordered anything, he'll slide like $100 to the bartender, so they're taking care
of it. Just in case I insult you later.
Yeah. This is for my future noise violation.
Don't kick me out, please.
Hey, we have a customer right here that felt like he got ripped off.
Uh-oh.
And he went on a pretty epic rant. He got froze when they offered some prayer to him.
Have a nice day. You guys are a rip-off. Have fun with my $160.
Have a nice day. God bless you.
Yeah, God. God ain't got nothing to do with it.
God, yeah, God you need God.
I'm no,
gonna,
I know.
I'm going to pray for you.
You for what?
I'm going to pray God, for you.
Don't you pray for me. Have a nice day. I don't need prayers, pal.
As he's just driving away. Hair flying in the wind.
I'm going to pray for you. What?
I needed a large fry, not a medium fry.
What?
Not your damn prayers.
What else we got right here? Hey.
I'll take all your prayers, by the way.
Every last one of them. God, I see what you've done for others.
Thank you.
Somebody's crypto is going crazy. Y'all see that, man? I know people that bought some of that Trump coin.
Nice.
It went stupid on them.
Yeah.
Like, it was like $7 or something like that at one point.
It was cheaper. It was way cheaper than that. It was like 30 cents if you were up late Friday night.
This fool got it around like around $7.
Look at that.
Where's it at now?
39. It was up at 75 before they launched the Melania coin, drained some liquidity out of Trump. But then, you know, they've settled in, they've consolidated.
Individual liberty.
It's my Melania I'm trying to work on.
Individual liberty.
Let's see what else we got right here. TJ Hooch Manzada.
Yes.
This is so apropos for this moment right here. We're talking about Cowboys and a head coaching situation. He says the Cowboys head coaching job is a dead end. Mm. Do we respect TJ Hooch Manzada?
Tried to trade for him one time.
Okay. Not after what he did to me and... Yeah, he saw PTSD Radio from that.
You okay, fam?
Radio Row, he got you, didn't
he? Oh. He was actually kind of nice.
No run up on
he
me.
Did, he did actually.
He was like,
he threw a jab and then he settled.
Yeah, okay.
He was better than Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, Marshall was a great player.
I think he's got an honor code that he operates on. He expects everybody else to do the same.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, man. I totally forgot about that. I was here for that, though, right?
Yeah, you were. Yeah, you were.
I thought some other. I thought he assaulted you. I was like, wait a minute. I might trigger you right here, dog. Yeah, right here. He says the Cowboys head coaching job is a dead-end job. Shout out to Miss Chalk. Hey, Miss Chalk, splash, for sending me this.
Man, the Cowboys is a dead-end job. Oh, whoa. Straight up and down. And I'm going to just take you through the history.
Give it some
Don't points. Listen to me. Who was the head coach before Mike McCarthy?
Garrett.
Jason Garrett. Did he get another job after that? Who was the head coach before Jason Garrett? Wade Phillips. Did he get another job after that? Mm-hmm. Who was the head coach before Wade Phillips?
Parcells.
Did he get another job after that? Mm-hmm. The Cowboys' job is a dead-end job.
You cooking. You done cooking?
It's a dead-end job. Every coach before Mike McCarthy wanted another job. Mm-hmm. Did they get one? Mm-hmm. No, they didn't. Mm-hmm. It's a dead-end. What happened when you hit a dead-end? What you do?
Reverse.
Where I'm going? Mm-hmm. Where I'm going? Now... We think Mike McCarthy gonna get one.
We think.
Let's see. It's a thankless job. Mm-hmm. Like, the Cowboys win, who get all the credit? Owner. Mm-hmm. The owner. When the Cowboys lose, who take all the blame?
Coach.
The coach.
He preaching.
Why would I want to go coach the Cowboys?
He cooking.
Because if I leave, I'm probably done as a head coach in the National Football League. And if we win, Jerry Jones did a great job with the roster. Man, I don't want to coach the Cowboys. Why would I if I'm prime?
Good points, factually correct. I think maybe he's got the order just a little bit misplaced.
Yeah.
I think you hit your dead end, and then you take the Cowboys job. That's what Jerry's looking for. Who's at the end of their line?
Standing ovation, bro. Well done. You smoked that. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Great job. We're up against it, so let's focus.
All right.
I don't want to take up too much of your time.
Is it? What do you mean cheap? What a line. What a debate. Salute to the morning show.
Stay poised.
Krusty says, I don't need your prayers, pal.
Yeah.
Krusty customer, that is.
Yeah.
Or is it TJ Houshmandzadeh, Cowboys job is at a dead end? Now that I know it's FCC, you know, not violation.
What you about to do? Wait a minute, fam. What you about to do?
I'm going RJ, Sean, and Bobby.
Oh, okay.
Same.
Me too. Any FCC violations that happen on this show fall on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going with cheap. What do you mean by cheap?
I think I have to have a button over here, too.
Yeah.
I think this button works.
Yeah, it does. It does.
So I can blame you.
Yep.
TJ Houshmandzadeh.
By a score of 4-1, and still your G-Bag of the Day champion. Two times now, it's the morning show there, Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Okay, when we come back...
Broadus, I want to appreciate you for bringing in these oxtails.
Yeah.
Yeah, I cannot wait to get with them. I just warmed them up. They're hot in here.
There you go. Let me know what you think.
There's a red stripe. All right, I got to let you go.
Yeah, Chiefs said they were amazing. You know, look forward to trying
to get into it.
They are unbelievable. Truly unbelievable.
Where are we going next, Eric?
We've got a little sports hodgepodge for you. And among other things, we have an unbelievable sports gambling story, a big time self-inflicted kick to the nuts, and a local legend may have changed the culinary game forever. That's next year in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3. The Fan. Shoddy and the Cowboys met for 4 hours yesterday. They continue to meet. We're standing by for an announcement. Could have a Cowboys new head coach before too long. Here's the chief of the sports hodgepodge.
Okay, I just want to acknowledge how funny and ironic and crazy it is to see pictures and videos of snow in places like Florida. You see the welcome to the free state of Florida, the sunshine state, and it's just surrounded by blizzard-like conditions or alligators crawling through the snow, iguanas. It's just hilarious.
Crazy. I saw pictures in Baton Rouge of like Tiger Stadium. It looks like, you know, like you're at, you know, in Buffalo or something like that. It's crazy to see the snow. And those folks are just not equipped. They just do not have the gear. I saw with the Bucks Pelicans game was canceled tonight because of it. You know, it just, they got no,
they're not used,
they got
to
no
it.
Salt on the, they got nothing down there to help these roads or anything like that.
Those are the weather delays that are gloves. Keeping from McCarthy from getting his interview with the Saints.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy stuff. Okay, so there was a great gambling story that is just ridiculous. This dude had a 14 leg futures parlay that he had put together in the last like 12 months. And all 14 of them hit. The last one that needed to hit was Ohio State beating Notre Dame. That's all it was going to take. He put 85 cents on this bet. And this was a bet that was like the odds were plus ridiculous. Basically, every dollar risked would pay out almost $175,000 is basically what it was.
Cha-ching.
So,
man, I'm going to lay out some 85-cent parlays tonight.
85-cent 14-leg futures parlay. That was going to return this gambler almost $148,000. An 87 cent bet.
Let's go.
And this dude had 13 legs hit. Well, we of course know that the 14th leg hit as well. But after Michigan beat Ohio State, this dude started to get a little cold feet.
He took a payout.
So he started shopping it around. And it's funny to see some of the bets that he had, because some of them were just one-off random games that he just had, like the over-under on, like college basketball games randomly. Then he had like UConn winning the men's basketball championship. He had the Bucks, the Magic, the Clippers, the Mavericks, the Thunder all winning their respective divisions last year. He ends up shopping this thing around after Ohio State loses to Michigan, and he sold it for $16,000. Just under $17,000.
Not bad. Not bad if you've hit for 85 cents to $16,000.
Pretty awesome.
I mean, at that point, you got to win.
You got paper hands.
Yeah.
You got to win four straight games for Ohio State, three straight games.
Yeah, at that point, it was like, they're not going to get the bye. This is going to be tough sledding here.
The fear got the most of them, though.
The fear got the most of them.
Fear and greed's a mofo in speculative markets.
So this dude says, no regrets at all. If I had the bankroll to hedge and secure a higher payday, I would have done it. Or I could have let it ride. In my situation, that didn't seem smart to do, to risk walking away with $0 after so many months of sweating. So he ends up still, you know, turning 85 cents into almost $17,000. But he missed out on, I mean, basically $150,000.
Yeah.
And so that's... I mean, he's obviously trying to go positive with this.
Yeah, you should. You should still go positive. You didn't know.
I mean, all you have to do is hit four double or nothings in a row, and you're back to 150,000. Yeah. You know, I'm sure that's the way he's looking at it.
This is the dude that sold the Apple stock for 500 bucks.
Full on degen. I mean, he was down to his last 84 cents on a parlay card.
But he also was sweating it out for quite a while.
Man, I would like an update on this story. Like, it's been a month since then. What's the current state of that $16,000?
Yeah, that's a good point. Where did those investments take you?
Hopefully got caught up on some things.
Would like to think he still has his pinkies and everything. Yeah. But there are no guarantees.
No.
Hey, speaking of guarantees, like, what do you guys think happened here last night after just spilling our guts and getting super vulnerable with the class at UNT, Hank Dickinson's class? I hop in the car, I'm listening to Fan After Dark, and they got our guy Trahan on the horn, Channel 8. Awesome, awesome dude. And so
WFAA?
Yes, exactly. Channel 8, WFAA.
Our guy.
Good pull, Wolchuck.
The black Joe Trahan, right?
Yes.
Not because there's a white Joe Trahan, too, right?
Absolutely.
There comes the Cowboys.
He was a PR guy. He's actually with the Dodgers.
Not being
now.
Racial. I mean, it's identity here.
Didn't he go just with, calling it like it is.
Yeah.
Didn't he go with the soccer league?
Oh, yeah, that's right. He's doing the World Cup stuff.
Yeah, he's probably listening to us right now. Soccer stuff.
Yeah, soccer stuff.
We love you, Joe.
Yeah, World Cup. We do love
both Joes.
We do love white Joe and black Joe. And Joe Trahan from WFAA, Channel 8, was on with the boys last night. What do you think happened to Blake here? Was he just sort of starstruck by the presence of Joe Trahan on the horn?
We've been wanting to have you on for a while.
When you're going through the show run of figuring out what's going to go on, what's the lead topic? What is head of the storm right now over there at WFFA?
You got to know, man. Shots. I mean, it's shoddy all the time. I don't know if Cowboy fans want to hear about it, but I got to tell them.
Yeah, no, we don't want to hear about it, and it sucks. But really, it's the question there asked by Blake. If we could isolate that, just the question here, what happened? How many things did he get wrong in the midst of this setup?
When you're going through the show run of figuring out what's going to go on, what's the lead topic? What is head of the storm right now over there at WFFA?
Head of the storm.
That'd be eye of the storm. I think the show run is really a rundown.
Yeah.
So there we go. First flub. The show. And run. Then the head of the storm should have been either the head of the snake or the eye of the storm, right?
I love that you pulled that because I laughed out loud when I heard that.
I mean, that's amazing. And then he says WFFA.
He made him a future Farmers of America.
We got a prize heifer storyline to lead the sports cast
over there at WFFA.
I think number one, you're right. He was a little bit starstruck by being on the horn with the TV guy, you know?
For sure. Absolutely.
Takes some getting used to as a young broadcaster. But also, I think he had no idea what his first question was. So he's starstruck and scrambling for a question at the same time. And, you know, the brain and the mouth were operating on two different wavelengths.
Yeah. Or it's just when the edible hits.
Over there at WFFA.
Okay, so we're going to mark them three infractions.
Yeah.
With the show run should have been run down.
Yeah.
And the head of the storm should have been. Would you have gone head of the snake there? Yeah. Or would you have gone eye of the storm?
How about just what's your lead story going to be tonight?
Yeah, maybe neither, but
just make it more concise. Yeah, perhaps.
If you just want to use storm, just go eye of the storm.
And then, of course, the extra F. And... forgetting the A. Fantastic. From one local legend in Blake Elliott to another. Did you guys see what Post Malone has cooking up right now?
You know what? Our guy Skip in Sunnyvale sent me a link to that. And I'm usually out on these because I've tried so many and they always disappoint that I end up throwing a lot of them away. But I'm in on this, Eric.
Yes.
I felt that butt.
Do we have a flavor profile? We have a flavor profile. So this is Post Malone and he is on a collision course with Oreos.
Yeah.
And
I would have trusted fat Post Malone more than skinny Post Malone, but obviously his taste buds know his way around some sweets.
Yes. This is an interesting, you know, wrench throwing into the fitness journey that he's clearly on. Now, the first thing you'll notice about these particular Oreos is that just the sort of the design on the Oreo, it doesn't just simply say Oreo or whatever in the middle. There's a wide variety of different things. Postico, Post. There's a butterfly with PM on it. There's a guitar with flames. So there's different designs in the cookie. The second thing you'll notice is that there's a bit of a heads or tails factor to this. Mm. On one side, you have the standard chocolate cookie.
Mm. Yeah.
And then it's sandwiched by the golden Oreo cookie.
Golden Oreo's good.
So you have the golden and the chocolate heads and tails. But then in the middle is where things get most interesting, and that's the cream part. And this is going to be a light-colored brown and a darker-colored brown. It's salted caramel and shortbread cream. Mm-mm. That is the filling.
This is where I'm out. Anytime they screw with the cream here, that's what makes the Oreos suck.
Salted caramel? Is it the shortbread cream? What is it?
I think the shortbread cream is not going to taste good.
That's trying to do too much, you think?
Yeah, I think so. Like, if look, even if they were to just stick with one, like maybe it was just salted caramel, but anytime they mess with the icing inside the Oreo, I think it always tastes horrible.
I respect your voice on this more than most. So I will honestly, I mean, take your word for it.
I've loved everything until we just got to we're messing with the icing here.
So
it's
the cream. Don't mess with the cream.
The cookie, mess with the flavor if you want. That's okay. The cream, don't touch it.
Wow. Yeah, I'm pretty much with Woolchuck on this. I think there's only about a 10% chance it'll be anywhere nearly as good as the original Oreo. But out of respect for Post, I'll give it a shot. I'll buy a bag.
You hate shortbread cookies in general?
I like shortbread cookies.
You hate the taste?
I would just like to think that, like, as much as I respect Woolchuck's opinion on this, I also would like to think that Post Malone took his time and was serious about the different flavor profiles and going through
more
and
so
pairing.
Than the Cowboy head coaching search. So he took it seriously.
Well, and we know
his
dad
casted a wide net of flavor.
Yeah, he tried. Yeah,
his dad with Legends Hospitality. He knows his way around food. So I mean, I'm down to try it, and I'm happy to be wrong on this one, but I'm nervous about what that cream is going to taste like.
Okay, first time he's ever said that.
Please dump that.
February 3rd, I believe, is the release date for the Post Malone Oreos. So actually, pre-sale January 27th, and then it cranks out for real February 3rd. So let's party. That's going to be an item at my Super Bowl party already guaranteed as we start looking ahead.
Yes, sir. You gotta have a look ahead. Yeah, we'll have those out there on the table as we get to Radio Row in New Orleans. Thank you, Chief. A sports hodgepodge is in the books. We're about an hour from George Sedano, ESPN, talking NBA and Mavs with us. The impact of Derek Lively's foot injury out 2 to 3 months and more coming up at 4 with George. But we'll check. Where are we going next?
Okay, do we have one NFL franchise that might actually be worse than the Dallas Cowboys right now? Bills Mafia does it again. Friendly trash talking. Where the hell can you come see the G-Bag Nation tomorrow? That's next.